The question today is, who and what does Hebrews 6, 4 through 6 deal with? This is part 2. We've already dealt with this in part 1 as far as part of it, but we was not able to finish it. Again, I'd like to read these verses so you can have an understanding of what we're talking about in Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 4 through 6. For it's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put Him to an open shame. We said in part number 1, as we dealt with this, that these people to whom, and I believe Paul is the human instrument God used to write this book, but you notice he said, let us go on to perfection in the beginning of this chapter. In other words, he's dealing with the Hebrew professors. Many of them were not saved, and there was a danger of them apostatizing, of falling away from the faith, not being lost after they're saved, because there is no such thing can happen. Once saved, eternal life. And that speaks well enough for itself. But these were danger of falling away from the faith after they had come and had special enlightenment. They had special advantages. They had special grace. And God says it's the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, but these seemingly had even more than the ordinary. And so therefore, he says, we and us, let us go on to perfection. This we will do, if God permit. But then he said, for it's impossible for those. He's talking about a whole group of people that's not saved here, that's lost. And he said, if they've been once enlightened, in other words, they have understood some things of God, scales had been pulled from their eyes, as we said in part 1, and they were made, and they've tasted the heavenly gift. In other words, they tasted, but they did not eat. We used the example in John chapter 6 where Jesus said, you must eat of Him. A wholeheartedly reception of Jesus as Lord is what it refers to. And yet, they turned and walked no more with Him. They apostatized because they were not willing to eat. They tasted, but they wasn't willing to eat. Now, the third thing, the advantage here that these professors had, and by the way, as we say again, these were not ordinary professors because it said they were partakers of the Holy Ghost. Now, the word partakers sometimes is translated to being partners. But yet, this word here in verse number 5, verse number 4 of chapter 6, is a different word that is used in 2 Peter 1, 4. Listen to what he said. Peter said in verse number 4 of 2 Peter 1, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now that word means that you have actually partook, and it's inside. The word here does not mean that. This means to have with, to go along. It means to go along with, to be a companion. It refers to being under the influence of the Holy Spirit in the work of reproval. And yet, Paul said in Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Different word used there than here in verse number 4. So these were not ordinary professors. They've been influenced by the Holy Spirit. And I say the word does not, I repeat, the word does not mean these are saved, that the Holy Spirit's on the inside to live. That's not what this word means. Paul used the aorist tense instead of a perfect tense verb. Now, he could have chosen to use, and by the way, he could have chosen a word in tense that said the Holy Ghost came on the inside. That would be what we call verbal inspiration. He'd use verbal inspiration instead of using the perfect tense verb, which means a past completed action with existing results. It means just point action. It means that they went along with the Holy Spirit as He worked in their lives at that time. And so therefore, He chose this word that said these people had been under the influence of the Holy Ghost of God. In other words, they were convicted, but yet they were not saved. Let those who've been partakers, those who've gone along with the Holy Ghost, those who've been convicted, that He's referring to. Then there's a fourth advantage here, or fourth grace that these people had that a lot of people doesn't have today. In verse number 5, and have tasted the good word of God. Tasted, again, means not to eat, remember, same as it did in verse 4. But they tasted the good word of God, the word harema. is the word, the utterance of God. It means to experience that God had been faithful to His promise, to enjoy as much as a lost man can enjoy the blessings of God and the advantages which flows from the promises fulfilled. Folks, sinners can enjoy messages and enjoy studying the Word of God after the seeds planted in their soul, after they've been awakened, and yet they have not yet saved. That's why Jesus said to that group in John 8, continue, if you continue in My Word, then shall you be My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So these were not ordinary professors. And Paul makes it clear that they're lost, because he doesn't say, as he said, we and us in verse 1 and 3 of verse numbers chapter 6 of Hebrews. Then in verse 4 he said, for it's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good Word of God. And then he brings us to number 5 of the graces of God here and advantages these professors, not ordinary professors, but they had. He said they tasted, and the word tasted goes with the powers of the world to come, as well as to taste the good Word of God. In other words, the early church had been personal witnesses of the miracle of Christ and also of the wonders that followed His ascension, when many glorious manifestations of the Spirit were given. Some of them recorded in the book of Acts. Now, these professors had experienced these manifestations as well as the saints of God who were professors. These professors had experienced that. So they were not ordinary professors. They had been enlightened. They were lost men in a good service. And any lost man in a good service knows he's in the midst of the power of the world to come when God moves in power. And boy, we need that in our services. But he said this, if, in verse number 6, if they shall fall away. In other words, the word fall away means to turn aside, to deviate from the right path. And he's talking about the narrow way. Jesus had said, if you'll continue in My Word, that's the narrow way that leads to the straight gate. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. In fact, he said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You see, they fall away, they deviate from that right path. In other words, they don't go through the straight gate. So Paul presents a hypothetical case here, warning these Hebrew professors from making such a thing a reality. In other words, this phrase in verse 6 goes along with connected to the word impossible of verse 4. And the word impossible in verse 4 means to be unable. In other words, he said, for it is impossible. Impossible for what? Verse 6, to renew them again unto repentance. In other words, the word renew means to restore. Repentance means a change of mind, change of attitude, change of heart, change of direction, a turning around from sin, self, and the world, and taking up sides with God against yourself. It refers to these people who were not ordinary professors. In other words, that he's talking about, they were at the very threshold of salvation. And Paul's warning them, if they turn back and totally abandon the light they had, they would never be brought to the place they were again. Folks, that's why the danger of leaving the church after God's dealt with your heart, leaving the truth of God's Word, and just because some things doesn't match up to your expectation or some preacher's expectation. Oh, there's a danger in doing that. You see, the Holy Spirit would quit dealing, he said, with them, and they would be lost forever. And this is referring to a willful knowing what you're doing. A willful rejection is talking. That's not something you can do ignorantly and step aside, but you know willfully. I've there had light. I know God spoke into my heart. I know I ought to do this, but I'm going to turn away and leave the church of God. It's a dangerous thing. You see, if man comes to this kind of conviction as far as these five things are mentioned here, where he said that they once enlightened, number 2, they've tasted the heavenly gift, number 3, made partakers of the Holy Ghost in the sense of going along with the Holy Ghost, have tasted of the good Word of God, have tasted of the powers of the world to come, and if they willfully turn back, they'll never find repentance. In fact, the Bible tells us about a man who basically committed this sin here, or went to that place, apostatized. That's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16. We talk about Esau. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. In other words, he turned back. He turned back is what it amounts to. Now, why? What is the reason that he says it's impossible for them to be renewed to repentance again? The last part of verse number 6 of Hebrews chapter 6, he said, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Now, that word to themselves means as far as they're concerned. What does the phrase crucify the Son of God afresh mean? It means this occurs when one confirms the judgment of the actual crucifiers, declaring that he has made trial of Jesus and found him not to be the true Messiah, but a deceiver, and therefore worthy of death. And that puts Christ to an open shame. The word open shame means disgrace and dishonor. If one who's been exposed to this kind of work is these five things that he spoke about here in verses 4 and 5, if he departs from the faith, they declare Christ to be an impostor, thus exposing him to disgrace and dishonor and making a public example of him. In other words, they do more to dishonor Jesus Christ than his murderers did, because they never professed Jesus to be the Christ. The murderers didn't. Therefore, these would be irreclaimable if they fall away. It means to be utterly, to utterly fall away. Now, we find a further reasoning with them would be only casting pearls before swine. The Bible said, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Peter says it this way in the book of 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 through 22, for if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they're again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they've known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his own vomit again, the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. And then Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 through 45. He said, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I'll return into my house from whence I came out. And when he's come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. That's what Jesus said. You see, heed the warning and don't turn back. Continue in His Word and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. God is faithful. Philippians 1:6 said, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 6:4-6 is talking about people who've lost, but they've been graced, and yet they're not the ordinary professors, but they turn away. If they apostatize, there's no hope for them. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying, good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.